Blog Talk Radio.
On your knees, you are taller than trees. You can look all the heartaches and fear. When my face night, it was a long time ago now, I knelt at my mother's knee, for I was weary, was heartsick and blue. She said, "Son, lift up your eyes to him in the skies, and you'll grow, yes, son, you'll grow like the mighty oaks do." Then this was the answer I found. As down at her knees I knelt. Down on your knees, you'll be taller than trees. And my boy, you can look over your heartaches, and son, you can look over all your fears. When my faith is gone to my knees, I will go growing stronger and taller than
everyone, and welcome to your place. Tonight we're going to be sharing with you about the power and importance. We have our guest speaker with us tonight from last week, Dr. Bruce Klein, and he was so kind to introduce our speaker for tonight, so we're going to let him introduce her tonight for our show. Dr. Klein, how are you?
Pardon?
Well, we found you. Hello, Dr. Klein.
Do you hear me now?
I hear you now. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Okay, here we go. Thank you, Christmas, for joining us this evening to learn more about prayer with Dr. Joy. Now, Dr. Joy is a resident of Texas. I think she's lived there most of her life. Went to school there. She has all kinds of degrees, which is a good thing. She has a doctorate of jurisprudence and a doctor in theology, which gives her a good background. She taught for Apostolic Theological Seminary. She taught a class called Jewish Law. Can you imagine taking a class on Jewish law with a person who is Jewish, who is a Christian, who is a law lawyer? She has a practice lawyer. She's a pastor. She has her general license, the UPCI, and she has studied Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, teaching you Old Testament law. I mean, what a combination. A Christian lawyer knowing the languages, having a good understanding of theology. I think we missed out. I didn't have the privilege of being one of her seminarians during that period of time when she's teaching that particular course. But the feedback I received, it was a fantastic teaching. Tonight we have the honor of hearing her teach on prayer. I haven't heard it, so I'm excited to hear what she has to say about prayer. She's written a commentary on the Epistle to the Hebrews, which we're waiting to get it published, and that'll be a welcome addition to the library needed for apostolic theology, apostolic understanding. She's instrumental in helping us plant Apostolic Theological Seminary in the Houston area, which is something that once a building is built, we will be in the building and having classes held for the seminary. But let me, enough of that, let's go in here. Dr. Joy, present to us prayer based on what the Bible says. Dr. Joy, we're excited.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. I hear you.
I would like to give thanks to Brother Mullinex for allowing me to be here today. It's an honor to be with you here today. Our topic is when we pray. Now, I'm not just talking about a now I lay me down to sleep type prayer. I'm talking about when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. And when we walk and when we are led by His Spirit. When we're swimming in the deep waters of the Spirit. When our prayers are changing nations, communities, and our families. When we're walking with God. I don't really know if prayer is easier caught than taught, but tonight we will endeavor to teach on prayer. The first scripture that we will look at is going to be Ezekiel 47:2-5. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the gate, utter gate by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters, and the waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. And afterwards he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over.
And that's what I would like us to learn about tonight and to dwell in our lives. In Psalms 42:7, it says, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts. All thy ways and thy billows are gone over me. Many might ask, they might say, why is it necessary to pray intercessory prayer? And I would ask, I'd say, how many of us would not even be here or be living for God if it weren't for the intercessory prayer? Mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather, a pastor, a pastor's wife who dwelt in the secret place of the Most High God. These people prayed all night. They fasted for weeks. They gave to the poor. They knew how to touch God. They dwelt in that secret place of the Most High God. They walked in the Spirit. They were led by the Spirit. They travailed for their families, for their nations, for revival. They lived holy lives dedicated to God. They loved the truth, and they sold it not. They were sold out and committed. They walked in the miraculous. That generation of prayer warriors, they're too quickly passing away from us. Brother T.W. Barnes was a man who walked with God, and he prayed in the Spirit, and he interceded for our nation and for souls. He prayed several hours a day. Brother Billy Cole prayed, and he walked with God. And God gave him thousands of souls. He lived in the secret place of the Most High God. Brother Pugh, he prayed for 3 hours a day and he walked with God. Brother Mangum, he prayed and he fasted and he walked with God. The disciples, you know, they prayed. After the death, burial, and resurrection, they fasted until their shadows would fall on the sick and the people would be healed. We had CLDs that would pray. He'd get up every morning at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he would pray because he said that's when his spirit was silent and he could hear from the Lord. It is time. It is a season. We must step up and we must fill their shoes. If the next generation is to learn and to experience and to privilege what we have seen and what we have experienced. Do we want our children to be saved? Do we want this generation to be saved? Our nation? The laws in our nation? Our loved ones? Then it's time to intercede and to pray like we have never prayed before. It is time to pray in the Spirit until we see mountains move. We are the largest untapped resource in the church, the mighty army of God, the intercessors. We are the most powerful resource in the world, the intercessors, the children of Zion, the mighty army of God. As children of God, we must arise. We must take a stand as the army of God by falling down on our knees and crying out to our Lord and worshiping our God and praying for our children, our families, and our nations. God will have compassion on us, and he will answer our prayers. We see in Esther, I have called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so we know that both you and I have been born, raised, and saved for this time, for this day, for this hour, for this year, where you and I will fulfill our part of our royal destiny as children of the King. We're not alone. Thousands of men and women across the entire world are being called today to pray, this year to pray like we have never prayed before. Prayer is the place where our soul communes with God. Prayer can be beseeching the Lord or pouring out our soul before the Lord. It can be praying or crying out to heaven or seeking God or making supplication or drawing near to God. It can be time to humble ourselves before our Maker by bowing a knee. It can be intercession. Some ask, why should we pray? I believe that we have to pray for our country, for our family, for our children, for Israel, for all nations, for revival, and for this generation. We have the promise found in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. If my people, who? My people, which are called by my name, we are people of the name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. It's time to humble ourselves before the Lord. And not to seek his hand, but to seek his face. And as his children to turn from our wicked ways and to turn from our sin and from our apathy. Many times it's not sins of commission, it's sins of omission. Does our land need healing? We're promised in Hosea 14 and 4, I will heal the backsliding. Do we have family who are backslidden or lost? In 2 Samuel 21 and 10, we see a mother warring for her two dead sons' bones. Rizpah, the daughter, she's spreading forth the sackcloth upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven. And she suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day nor the beast of the field by night. We need a burden like Rizpah. She was given her petition. She guarded her dead son's body and five other bodies of the sons of Saul. She had a burden. We need a burden today for the lost like we've never had before. We need a burden for our nation like we've never had before. And for the Christians that are being killed all across the world, for their faith. I come tonight to speak to this mighty army of God, to the watchman on the wall. There is a clarion call going forth tonight. Our Lord is calling us to pray like we've never prayed before and to passionately intercede for the lost, to travail in the Spirit and to step up and take up the baton that our fathers and the previous generations have handed us. Will we awake out of our sleep? Will we do the will of our Father? A prophetic child is to be birthed this year and in the next year to come. This prophetic child is not unlike Sarah's child, who, as an old woman, birthed the very nation of Israel and changed the course of the world for all of eternity. Does our nation need to be reborn spiritually? This child has been around a long time. This child is not unlike Elizabeth's child, who was given to her in her old age, that would bring the known world to repentance. Does our nation, does our generation, does our family need to be brought to repentance? This child is not unlike Mary's child, who would bring the world salvation. Does our nation and our families need salvation today? God has chosen this child, called intercessory prayer, to birth new souls into the kingdom of God. It is time to rebirth these powerful spiritual women of old, spiritual children. Will we help birth her? We are called to the birth. It is their time. They are your children and they are my children. They are this generation's children. It is our nation that needs to be rebirthed by and through our intercessory prayer. God is calling his children in the world today to give birth, to give rebirth to the prophetic women of old's children of repentance and of salvation. And we need to cry out for our children, for our spouses, our families, our country, as we cry out for the world's children to be saved. We refuse to let them go to hell. We will not stand idly by. Who knows for sure if our lost son or our lost daughter will not be the next Moses, or if who will be the next Esther, and how will they even know if they stay lost? In Isaiah 59 and 16, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation into him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. And then in Ezekiel 22 and 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Notice here, it's for the land. Does our land, does our nation need healing? And then in 1 Samuel 12 and 23, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Notice here that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. That really touched my heart. We ask, okay, how can we intercede for the lost? What do we need to do to go into the Holy of Holies and into the secret place of the Most High God? First off, we need to repent and cleanse ourselves of anything that's unclean and of any weight that does so easily beset us. And we can also repent of the sins of our family and of our nation's sins. And we can turn from our wicked ways. Today is actually Rosh Hashanah. It's a Jewish New Year. We were reminded once again to repent. And in Rosh Hashanah, the Jews are asked to forgive anyone that has wronged them. And the shofar is blown to call the people to repentance. After that, you have 10 days of repentance that follows. And these 10 days are filled with intense repentance and charity. And then Yom Kippur is a day of atonement, and it's the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. And it's when in the ancient Israel, the priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood between the cherubim. And it is a fast day filled with intense prayer. Now, we may ask, what does this have to do with Christians? And I tell you, many things in the Old Testament are foreshadowings of the New. But the holiest day of the Jews would, they would spend days fasting and praying. And I think it is a perfect example to us that as Christians, we need to repent of our sins And we need to look back and take stock of what's went on in the past year, examine our lives, and repent of any sins by omission or by commission, and any bad attitude. You know, we can have the right or do the right thing with the wrong attitude and be totally wrong. And we need, as Christians, an altar of repentance, and we need to embrace forgiveness. Not only forgiving other people, but also asking God to forgive us, forgiving ourselves. Before we can enter into the Holy of Holies or the secret place of the Most High God, we need to have our minds, our souls, and our hearts right with God. And sometimes that doesn't happen in a few minutes. But if we will examine our lives and ask God to forgive us, He will forgive us. He is faithful. We know that the Day of Atonement, the sacrifices that they altered, that they offered on the altar, Jesus once and for all paid for our sins, and He became the perfect Lamb of God. And so we know that we no longer have to offer any sacrifices. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. And we are told to be holy as He is holy. And Daniel 9 and 20, and while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. So we see here that in Daniel that he was not only confessing his sins, but the sins of his nation. And I think that this is an important thing for us today if we look at the state of our nation. And then in Nehemiah 1 and 6, it says, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. And so we see here in Nehemiah, again, praying for the sins of the nation, and not only for their sins, but for the sins of their family. Next, we need to examine our attitude. You know, our attitude is everything. We must enter into prayer with a divine reverence for God. When I go before a judge, I show due reverence to that judge. When I'm arguing my case before him, I make sure that I show the proper respect. And how much more so when we are in the presence of the King of the universe, the creator of everything. When we enter into his presence, we must enter into with worship in our hearts and honor in our hearts and in our minds. In Psalms 104, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. Then in Acts 16:25-26, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, and they sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands was loosed. So we see here that worship, when we enter in and we worship, and we can even sing praises unto God, that it can cause a mighty move in the spirit. It can cause miracles to happen. Sometimes I have worshiped my way into a miracle when I saw no hope. When we stop believing that God owes it to us or that God has done us wrong, we need to go back to step one and repent. God doesn't owe us anything, and God has never done anyone wrong. Our prayer must be sincere, as we see in Hebrews 10 and 22. We need to have earnest submission to the divine will of God, always humble of spirit, ever mindful that pride caused Lucifer to fall. We can walk into his presence boldly as his children, but we must be mindful need to say, not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord. Matthew tells us, thy kingdom, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sister Marvell Bees says, it is not how much we pray in one night, but how we pray every day that makes a difference. Consistency. We need to realize that prayer must also be offered in faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We need to understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When I think about that scripture in Hebrews, I think, you know, when we're praying for, say, a child to be saved, one of our children maybe is a backslider, and we need to have faith. We need to believe that they are going to be saved and not look at the sin that they might be in, but to look at how we know that it shall be because God shall answer our prayers. We see in the Bible that Elizabeth had faith, and she was given John, and John brought the nation to repentance and prepared the world to receive Christ. We see that Mary had faith and was given the Messiah who died for our sins, our Savior, our God, our Lord, our Creator, the reason that we live and breathe and have our being. The widow woman made the last cake for the man of God and then fed herself and her son for a year. This woman had faith. How many men and women have had faith and received their dead back to life or their children back to life? In Acts 5:15-16, it says, insomuch they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and on couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a great multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them that were vexed by unclean spirits. And they were healed, every one. We see faith. It takes faith to take a sick person and stick them in a street and hope that just a shadow will touch them and they'll be healed by the shadow of someone that is an apostle or used by God. We had the Shunammite woman. She had faith. Her child was dead, and she said all is well. She believed God, and her son was made alive. We see in 1 Samuel 1:8, it says, then Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou, and why eatest thou not, and why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Hannah declared, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition. So that's in 1 Samuel 1:27. So we see that here, Hannah did what we need to do. She was weeping. She was praying before the Lord. She was fasting. She was fervent in her prayers. And the Lord gave her the petition that she asked for. It says in later in the chapter, it says that she prayed. She wept sore. She did not eat. She was in bitterness of soul, asking God to give her the child. We can see that she wasn't even interested in living. And God gave her Samuel. He took away her reproach because of her fervent prayer and her faith and the mercy of God. And we see that Samuel changed his entire generation. Samuel's life changed his entire country. He anointed King David king, which is the lineage that Jesus would come from. We also see that during the times of prayer that we need to be fasting, where we can sit at the foot of the cross, where the glory of the possessions and entertainment, where they fade into darkness, and we realize that it's all in Jesus. In the secret place of the Most High God, the bright lights of material possessions, or accomplishments, they fade into darkness. In his presence, many of the pursuits of this life lose their luster. As we walk humbly into the holy of holies, there at his feet, we realize that we're walking in his mercy and in his grace, and that we, the only righteousness we have is because his blood covers us. Because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And when we're in the Holy of Holies, in that secret place of the Most High God, we stand in awe of his majesty and of his love for us and his grace and his mercy. And we begin to understand the true character of God. God doesn't withhold any good thing from us. Then we see in Daniel 10, 2 through 3 and 11 through 13, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palm of my hand. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. So we see here that Daniel fasted. We see that the disciples, they fasted. And when we enter into a time of fast, we see our flesh becoming under subjection to the Spirit of God and to our spirit that's in communion with God. And I don't care how long we've lived for God, if we're not fasting, we're not drawing as close to God as we could. I know that some have medical conditions where you cannot, and so I would not say to risk your medical condition, but I am encouraging us all to pray and to fast. Next, we see that we need to take dominion and authority over certain things. In Ephesians 6 and 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And then in Matthew 18:18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is also repeated in Matthew 16 and 19. Then we see in Psalms 91 and 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 by thy right hand, and it shall not come nigh thee. So the right hand is symbolic of power, and so we see that through prayer we can move mountains. When we are praying, we can bind and loose things. We can bind things that are binding our communities, our nations, our churches, our families, or any individual. We must bind the strong man. When we're binding nations and churches and communities, corporate prayer is needed in these things, or very helpful in these things for the larger groupings. It says in the Word of God, it says, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. If a loved one is an alcoholic, then we need to bind the spirit of alcoholism and loose the love of God and all that pertain unto God. We loose the love of truth. We loose a hunger for God and for everything that pertains unto God. So we release things and we bind things. And we are given that power and that authority in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We don't try to bind anything in our name. We bind and loose things in the name of Jesus.
Now, years ago, back in the late 90s, I was privileged to go to the country of Haiti. And when I went to this country of Haiti, I was privileged to go with a lady that I dearly love that has taught me much, especially on prayer, and that's Marvell D., Sister Marvell D. And when we went there in the late 90s, there was a group of apostolic ministers and churches that had been praying and fasting for Haiti. And so we were in this convention, and the spirit of intercession, it went from the right-hand side of the building, and it went in waves to the left-hand side. And you could watch it ripple back and forth between the two sides and front and back. And people were on their knees, and they were weeping and wailing and speaking in tongues and crying out for their nation. And God heard their cry. And it was really an amazing experience for me. And so anyway, we went back to the hotel later that night. And Sister Dee's room, it had a window that went from the ceiling to the floor and from one wall to the other wall, and it was looking over the capital of Haiti. And so we began to pray and to continue praying. We had been praying all day. And when we did, we were holding our hands over the capital or towards the capital in the name of Jesus and praying in the name of Jesus. And we felt a shifting like I have never felt before in the spirit. And I believe that it was the corporate prayers of the apostolic ministers in that nation and their churches and the fasting in that nation by the pastors and their churches that brought it about. At that time, they had a president that was celebrating and having the country celebrate as a national holiday, the Day of Voodoo. And within a few weeks after this prayer and after this conference, we saw God put a new president into Haiti. He was a Christian man. And so we saw God change a nation. But you can actually feel it shift when that happens, if you're sensitive to the moving of the Spirit. In Matthew 5 and 6, it says, "Blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So we see that when we're praying for someone, that this is a promise in the Word of God, that if they hunger and if they thirst, that they will be filled. So if we have a backslider, we need to pray Matthew 5 and 6. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10, "With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, they perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved." So when we are praying for lost people, we need to pray and stand on this scripture and say, "Lord, give them the love of the truth where they might be saved." And then in Mark 3 and 27, "No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man and then spoil his house." So we see here again that we're to bind the strong man. We also need to pray that they will see and that they will hear, because it says that in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, "By hearing ye shall hear and not understand, and by seeing you shall see and not perceive." So we need to pray, "Lord, let them see and hear." We also need to pray, "Lord Jesus, let them be what you created them to be. Let them do what you created them to do." Next thing we need to give attention to is fervency, because fervent prayer is needed. And I'll make a comment here that anything that doesn't have passion is dead. And anything that is dead needs to be buried. It says that Daniel also prayed fervently.
And it says, and the Lord sent him an angel the first day, but that the warfare occurred in heaven over that one prayer. Daniel's prayers were affecting principalities and powers and dominions, and our prayers can too. If we stay in the secret place of the Most High God, if we seek God, if we fall in love with Jesus. In James 5 and 16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. It says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So we see that it must be effectual, so we shouldn't pray amiss on things that we just want to consume on our lust. And it says that we must be righteous. Of course, we know that we're not righteous. It's the blood of the Lamb that covers us, that makes us righteous. It's not in ourselves because we're wicked and sinful before the infilling of the Holy Ghost. All men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Of course, after we receive the Holy Ghost, we don't have to live in sin anymore. We don't have to sin anymore. The Holy Ghost gives us the ability to stop sinning. So we see that when we pray effectually and we enter into the secret place of the Most High God, that we first need to repent. We need to have the right attitude. We need to have reverence for the Lord. We need to worship. We need to have faith. We need to fast. We need to take the dominion and power and authority over some things. And we need to pray fervently. We see that the scriptures tell us that we should ask and that we shall receive, that we should seek and that we shall find, and that we shall knock and that it shall be opened unto us. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. And this is found in John 16, 23, 24, John 15, 16, Ephesians 2, 18, Ephesians 5, 20, Colossians 3, 17, and 1 Peter 2, 5. We need to pray in the name of Jesus. And we need to pray according to his will and not just according to our lust. We do not need to pray amiss. We need to pray what is his will. So when we pray in the spirit is the next thing. We need to realize that we need to pray in the spirit of the Most High God. Romans 8, 26 through 28. Likewise, the spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. We know this. Intercessory prayer is like giving birth. It comes from the gut. You cry out sometimes in pain. You weep, you wail, you shake under the power, you walk, you push through until the birth. And just as you give birth in the flesh, we must give birth in the spirit. We must, children of Zion, give birth now to the next John, the next Moses, to the next Daniel. We need to pray until we're having spiritual children. We need to pray until we're delivered. We must intercede in the spirit. We need to intercede and travail for our nation and for the people that are being murdered because they're Christians worldwide, for the lost. We need to intercede. That is how children are born into the kingdom of God. We need to speak things into being. We see in Mark 11 and 23, it says, for verily I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. So we see here that we shall have what we say. What are we saying? Are we saying that we're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Aren't we saying we are healed by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony? Ezekiel 37, it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinew upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin, and the sinew and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then he saith unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore, prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up out of your graves. I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, which have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. We should speak in prayer to our mountains, and we should command them into the sea. And if there is a healing of a liver that needs to be healed, then we command the liver to work in Jesus' name. Do we need our nation healed? Then we can prophesy to our nation, and we can command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. If we feel led to do it, we can do it. We can pray, God, heal our nation. We can ask that he bring the four winds of God to breathe upon our nation, that our nation might live, that revival might come to our nation. We can cry out, we can ask God, oh Lord God, give our nation a revival. In Jesus' name we pray. We can speak things into existence. The word says that we shall have whatsoever we sayeth. We must pray until we see it manifested. We need to fast. We need to read the word of God. We need to sanctify and hallow ourselves, set ourselves apart to God. Are our family members in need of deliverance? God can deliver them. Are our family members unbelievers? God can save them. Does our family have anger issues? God can deliver their home from the spirit of anger. The power of prayer can defeat any demon in Jesus' name. Because he says, if we will ask, if we will seek, if we will knock. It says, where any two or three bind together, touching anything, that it shall be done. When we're praying according to his will, when we're praying according to the scripture, God is going to answer our prayers. And everything that I do sometimes is I plead the blood of Jesus. I pray and anoint the rooms of my house sometimes and the beds of my family members sometimes. I even believe in prayer cloths. I've seen prayer cloths that were anointed, that were put under people's beds, help and move, and God used them for his glory. We pray also for God to open and close doors according to his will. We don't know what to do sometimes, so we have to pray that God will open and close the doors. We pray that he orders our steps, that we will not walk to the right, we will not walk to the left, but we will walk perfectly in his will. And if we have any lame thing, if our foot turns aside in any way, we pray that the Lord will heal that lameness and that we will walk perfectly in his will. We are people of the name. Everything that we do in word or deed, we do in the name of Jesus. Mark 9:3. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Acts 3:6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts 4:10. Be it known unto you all. Ye all, I believe it says. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. So even the man was made whole in the name of Jesus. In Acts 16:18, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Acts 19:13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. It did not end good or well. It did not end well for these people. We need to be careful that when we are using the name of Jesus, that we're walking in the Spirit of the Lord, that we are full of the Holy Ghost, prayed up, and that we are right with him. Because if we try to cast out demons in the name of Jesus and we're not, it's not going to end well for us either. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 6, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We must pray a hedge of protection over our families and plead the blood of Jesus over them. Our destination in Psalms 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, and in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be the shield and buckler, and thou shalt not be afraid by terror by night, nor by the arrow that flieth by day, or the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor by the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only thy eye shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the dragon thou shalt trample under feet, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Prayer can shake the very foundations of this world. It must be a fervent prayer. We must be a clean vessel. It must be an intercessory prayer. We must worship God. We must thank him. We must speak it into existence. It must be a continuous prayer. We must plead the blood and pray until we feel the heavens move. I believe that we need to enter into the secret place of the Most High God and draw nearer to Him and seek His face than we have ever sought Him before. We know that the Lord's Prayer is a model of prayer. It is a pattern of prayer, that we don't just pray it repetitiously. We see in Romans 8 and 31, it says, "And when we then say to these things, if God be for us, who can be against us?" We see in Esther 4, 15 through 17, that when Esther and Mordecai prayed, God defeated the purpose of Haman. And he saved the Jews, the entire nation, from destruction. We see in Acts 12 that when they at Jerusalem prayed, that God opened the doors and set Peter free. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 12, that when Paul prayed about the thorn in his flesh being removed, that God gave him spiritual strength to endure it. We see that prayer is much like the dove that was sent out of the ark by Noah, and that it blessed him not only when it returned with the olive branch in his mouth, but when it never returned at all. When we pray according to his will, sometimes the best answer to a prayer is when God says no. We see here where it says in Judges 16 and 28, "Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God." We see in 2 Samuel 22 and 7 and Psalms 18 and 6, "In my distress I called upon the Lord." In closing this tonight, I want to say, may we go forth as a mighty army of God in prayer. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus, what do we have need of? Are our children lost? Is our spouse lost? Are our grandchildren lost? Is our nation in need of a revival? Do we need better laws in our country, godly laws? Does the world need a revival? Then let us arise as the powerful army of God in prayer. Let us draw nearer to Jesus than we've ever been before. Let us walk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, be consistent in prayer, and let us see the winds of God bring healing, deliverance, salvation to our nation, to our communities, to the church, to our families, and to the world. And let us ever be mindful that God will not share his glory with any man. We must pray humbly, realizing that anything that we have, anything we have accomplished, it is all by him, through him, and in him. We have nothing of ourselves. We are just the clay, just the vessel. In Jesus' name, that's what I have, and that I have felt that the Lord would have me to say on prayer. And Brother Mullinax, he asked me to also say something about what's going on in our world with the arrest of the Christian lady for standing up and not wanting her name on the same-sex marriage license, since I'm an attorney. And I'll say this. The United States Supreme Court, it was instituted by our forefathers of this nation, not to write law, but to interpret law that had already been written. Our Constitution today, many look at it as a living, breathing document. That means that they can change it to mean what they want it to mean and not what our forefathers created it to mean. I do not do that. I believe that the Constitution of the United States was a document that was written by our forefathers to be interpreted literally, and that the different divisions of our government should carry out the functions that they were created to carry out and not to overlap one another. Congress is supposed to write laws. Congress and the Senate. We are not to allow, we should not allow our Supreme Court to write the laws when they were not created to do that. Furthermore, we see that the lady, when she was standing up and she wasn't wanting her name on the marriage license,
She was within her right because there was no law in her state that approved same-sex marriages. I now turn it over to Brother Milanex. Lord bless you.
Joy, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. What a powerful and timely lesson that you had for us tonight on prayer. I tell you what, the illustrations you gave were just so, it just really spoke to my heart. It touches me to realize how common that we make the things of God, that even when you looked at the things of the tabernacle, that there was a certain requirements that was in place that you had to go into. When you brought the information, talking about court, I can remember I used to be a police officer in Arkansas and how that when people would come into family court, they called that the King's Court, and the comment was made, you didn't come with unclean hands and make requests of the court to take your side or to work things out to your behalf. You had to come with everything in order on your part whenever you wanted the court to reach out to you. And we seem to be a generation of people that were losing a generation, one thing, of prayer warriors, and it's time for this generation to step up. I don't want to be a part of that group that has a form of godliness and denies the power therein. I don't want to take it for granted the prayer, the privilege, and the honor we have to pray. We have the honor. We don't. I'll tell you what, try to call the President of the United States tomorrow and see if you can get through. Now, you might be able to do that, but I can't do it. But, you know, the Almighty God, that I can, whatever my situation is, whatever my circumstances, I can go before His throne boldly and with confidence that His promises, we said this a couple of weeks ago, are yea and amen. But the reason these things aren't happening because we don't want to get that repent part down. We don't want to have it to where we got clean hands when we come before the King. We don't want to get our house in order to the point to where we got a consistent prayer life. And I tell you, Sister Joy, I really, really, really appreciate what you brought to us tonight because this is the key. Washington is not going to have anything to do with my spiritual walk with God, but it seems like we get so tangled up in the one to talk about all the things in Washington when we could pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us to do that. As you said, pray for our country. Pray for each other. You know, I go to a church where they really, if you feel an anointing in the spirit to go pray for someone, they believe in going to do that, to pray one for another, and to understand that there's power that comes forth when we take the things that God's given us and we apply it to our life. And so I can't tell you how much I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this. And I'll tell you what, I also want to thank Dr. Klein for asking you to come be with us on the show tonight. We want to let anyone have a comment or a question. If you want to, push 1 on your phone, and we'll be sure and bring you up. And we always have with us Blog Talk Mom, and seem to have trouble getting the mics on tonight. But Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything you wanted to share?
Well, it's my favorite subject. Joy did an awesome job of bringing the word and the promises, the direction, the encouragement, the power, the direction for us to pray. I mean, it was a masterpiece. And thank you all, Bill and Sister Starla, for this program. It is so inspiring and so timely for our nation and for our church. We must have role models. We must have people that, like Joy and others like y'all and others that I'm seeing that are taking a stand. And we had a prayer meeting this morning, and it was just awesome. We lay hands on this book that we're putting together for backsliders, people that have become discouraged for whatever reason, and we're seeing such a stirring in their heart. And then Sunday night, the men just spontaneously met at the church and had a men's prayer meeting. They said it was just a magnificent move of God. Prayer is our weapon. Prayer is our key. God is our power. He knows what's best. And when we pray, we link ourselves with His power. So thank you very much. Yes, I did absolutely enjoy it. I love anything about prayer. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being with us, Blog Talk Mom. I don't see any other hands brought up here, but I want to bring Dr. Klein back on. I know he probably has something he'd like to add to this. Dr. Klein?
Yes, I'm... I think as we listen to you, Brother Molinex, speak, the anointing just carries over, carries on. It was fantastic. point after point as Jesus was speaking to us, the things we need to know about prayer, to encourage us to pray more and more, and giving us reason to pray more and more. This becomes critical as we stop and see the Bible as Jesus is speaking to us, as he's giving us direction, point by point. And of course, in our country, we were given things to pray for. As you look at Romans, that we'd be praying for our president, praying for our country, praying for those in leadership. It is a fantastic teaching tonight. I thank you, Jesus, for it. I thank you, Dr. Joy, for being obedient. That's all I have.
Yeah, well, thank you, Dr. Klein, for introducing us, because I tell you what, I can't tell you how timely this is for right here where I'm at. And I have a funny feeling it's not just here in Tennessee where I'm at right now. I think across our nation it's time for God's people to understand the power that we have when we get on the same page with God and we unite in prayer. We love quoting that scripture where one can cast 1,000 and 2 10,000. But as a mighty church of God, if we could all join together in prayer and get beyond our own little self-centered things and just tie into the Holy Ghost, because it will lead us into things that we need to pray about and not be fearful from the things that's going on in our country, not look at the things going around the world, be fearful because God's let us know that we don't have to be afraid, that he's in control of everything, that no weapon formed against us is going to harm us. But it's just one of those things. I tell you what, Sister Dory, you got me excited here. It's hard for me to just even want to shut up. I'm just fired up on this. I can't thank you enough.
Amen.
Did you have anything else that you'd like to add?
No, sir. Except thank you, thank you, thank you for allowing me to come tonight.
Well, I want to thank you again for being here. And also for those, we have a lot of first-time listeners on here. We'll let you know. And I have people tell me all the time, I ask them, like, how come you didn't ask a question? Or, you know, why didn't you have a comment? Or, like, you guys pretty much covered it all. And I have to say, you covered it from A to Z tonight. If someone didn't understand that, it's because they didn't have ears to want to hear. Because you did an excellent job on how you brought that out. But also, you can go to our Blog Talk page, www.blogtalkradio.com/your-place, and you can get any, you can take this lesson right here and you can download this to any smart device, you can put it on a CD, you can attach it to emails, you can share this with anybody and everybody, and I encourage you to do that. This is one of those lessons that we don't need to forget, church. This is one of those that we need to apply. It don't be something that just stirs me and gives me little goosebumps running up down my arms. This is one of those that if God's people will apply, that's the only thing that's going to see us through. And I tell you what, I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to sleep. You got me so fired up, Sister Joy. But I do want to thank each and every one of you that's taking the time to be with us tonight. Whoops, I think I got a hand up here. Go ahead, 0013.
Well, Wild Bill, I just totally, absolutely enjoyed that. It was the importance of prayer, but also Dr. Joy gave us the tools to know how to pray. We have become a nation of people who don't know how to pray, and we need those intercessors to be able to stand in the gap for our families and for our country, for our leaders. And this was a powerful message, and I really so absolutely enjoyed it. And the lessons that were taught in it were amazing. I just totally enjoyed it.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Starla. For those of you that don't know, that's my beautiful wife who comes in and helps me make this whole thing work. And we don't have anybody else with their hand up, but I want to encourage everyone, and I think we ought to just go ahead together right now and all of us just pray and just apply what we've heard here tonight. So if you don't mind, just wherever you are, if you're driving a car now, don't close your eyes, but if you can pull over or if you can, you know, get a chance, I just want us to all pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this privilege to be able to hear your word and let it be as powerful seed applied into our lives. Lord, let it go deep into our hearts and into our minds. Lord, help your people to see the power that we have through obedience of your word, the accountability we have for those that are lost. Lord, when we don't take the things that you've given us and use it. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus to know that we have power through the Holy Ghost to be more than an overcomer, that your spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. And And, Lord, we don't have to take no for an answer. When it comes to the things where Satan tries to hinder and he tries to bind, we can join together in force. We can claim things in your name and see it happen. Your promises are yea and amen. Lord, you said that greater works than what you did that we shall do. Lord, let us get the vision. Let us see the picture, Lord. Let us understand that these are the things that you've called each of us to do. Lord, let it be applied to each and every life to listen to the show. Lord, for those that have lost loved ones, for those that are in the military to listen, Father, we pray you put a hedge of protection about them. Lord, you stir every heart and every mind in Jesus' name that is lost. Lord, draw them back into yourself. We claim these lost souls in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we claim these lost souls in our family. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of having this radio broadcast. Bless Sister Joy for the message she's delivered to us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for being a part of our show tonight. We'll be back next Tuesday night. Y'all have a blessed night, and thank you for listening to Your Place.
God bless.